Praise the Lord. Message number 226. The title of the message, The Approved Ministry, Part 2. And we will tackle in this message the requirement of the approved ministry. We speak about repentance from the life of David and how David repented and how he served the Lord and the proper altar that the Lord wants us to save him on. And we will speak also about church planting. Before we go forward, let's pray. Through God, we cannot do anything without you. We ask to help us and to guide us. Thank you for this time that you give us your word, that your word will direct us in the things, in the way, Lord, that you want us to go forward in serving you. I do pray in the name of Jesus that the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished in the life of your church and your people, that people get repent, they will draw close to you, they will come with their lives and their ways fully unto you, Lord. I pray for people to get saved and delivered from bondages and sin, true repentance in their life and transparency, and they will be raised up in the manner that you want them to be. Lord, take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and make it reach to those people who want to hear and who need to hear this message of yours. We thank you, God, and we bless you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's open our Bible to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11, and we will speak about the sin of David, how he sinned, and we'll go forward in also 2 Samuel chapter 12, and we will see how the Lord confronted him with his sin and how he repented and get restored. 2 Samuel chapter 11. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, we start reading from the beginning. David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. This here the point. His eyes was not disciplined. We teach that when you see a beautiful woman or woman coming, put your eyes down. When you see a man coming and you are a girl, put your eyes down, not on the man. Verse 3, and David sent someone to find out about her. See, when the eyes is not disciplined, the mind also not disciplined, and then sin is coming. The man said, isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. She had purified herself from her uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and went and sent word to David saying, I am pregnant. What David would do, let's read what he is going to do. So David sent this word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Why he sent for him? He wanted him to go to sleep with his wife so that it will be covered, her pregnancy, that from the husband, not from other men. Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. When David was told Uriah did not go home, he asked him, haven't you just come from a distance? Why did you go home? God was rebuking David in indirect way that he refused to go home. God is telling him, I am after you. I will not allow you to cover up your sin. I am going to expose you if you are not going to repent. Uriah said to David, The Ark and Israel and Judah are staying in the tents, and my master Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open fields. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing. That's a strong rebuke of God to David. Then David said to him, stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day. And the next, at David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it he wrote, put Uriah in the front line where the fighting is fiercest, then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die. Here David wants to kill him in order to cover up his sin. So while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. Joab sent David a full account of the battle. He instructed the messenger, when you have finished giving the king this account of the battle, the king's anger may flare up, and he may ask you, why did you get so close to the city to fight? Didn't you know they would shoot arrows from the wall? Who killed Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal? Didn't a woman throw an upper millstone on him from the wall so that he died in Thebes? Why did you get so close to the wall? If he asks you this, then say to him, also your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead. The messenger set out, and when he arrived, he told David everything Joab had sent him to say. The messenger said to David, the men overpowered us and came out against us in the open, but we drove them back to the entrance to the city gate. Then the archers shoot arrows at your servants from the wall, and some of the king's men died. Moreover, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead. David told the messenger, say this to Joab, don't let this upset you. The sword devours one as well as another. Press the attack against the city and destroy it. Say this to encourage Joab. When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. Here David, he done the complete crime. He killed the man, he killed the wife, as if nothing happened, no proof, no evidence, but the Lord was seeing and watching everything, and the Lord was pleased. Even you are doing sin or wrong and no one is watching, but the Lord is watching and is displeased with your sin, and you need to repent. And that's what the Lord did with David. In chapter 12, the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little old lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man did this deserves to die." He was not aware that is he. He pronounced judgment on himself. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Verse 7. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, "I anointed you king over Israel, and I deliver you from the hand of Saul. I give your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I give you the house of Israel and Judah, and if all this had not have been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes?" You must know that when you are sinning, you are despising the word of the Lord and you are doing evil in his eyes. "You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Amorites. Now therefore the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own." This is what the Lord says, "Out of your own household I am going to bring calamity upon you." So here, when we confront people with their sin, we are pronouncing God's judgment. Nathan was pronouncing God's judgment on David, and from his mouth, David approved it. "Out of your own household I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel." These are the consequences and God's judgment on David because he sinned against the Lord. And when you sin, there's consequences of your sin. There's punishment and consequences, and you need to bear it. Verse 13, then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." He accepted his sin. Nathan did not bring to David any proof. He did not tell him that we saw you and there's evidence and the woman spoke and that person came. No, he came and confronted him. David is a king. He would be able to deny it. He would even be able to kill Nathan, cover it up. But he resolved to repent. And that's why the sin of David, even adultery and murder, was he was restored back because he truly repented. Many people, when we face them with their sin, they will deny, they will fight back, they will fight against the church, against us. But here we find David, he accepted his sin. And Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die, but because by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt. The son born to you will die." Oh, this is a very great judgment. Nathan told David, "The son that born to you will die." You just imagine that somebody did wrong and the judgment of God will tell that your son will die or your daughter will die. How he will react against that person who proclaimed to him the word of God. What David did, let's read. Verse 15, after Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah was had born to David, and he became ill. What David did, he went and fight back with Nathan and the church and the people? No. Verse 16, David pleaded with God. He accepted God's judgment. He accepted God's discipline. He accepted his sin. "I have sinned against the Lord." He did not put any excuses for himself. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and went into his house and spent the nights laying on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused and he would not eat any food with them. He accepting his sin. He was pleading for the Lord. And we will read that in Psalm 51. Verse 18, on the evening, on the seventh day, the child died. David's servants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, we spoke to David, but he would not listen to us. How can we tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that his servants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied, he is dead. Then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. See here, he accepted the discipline of God. He did not stop coming to church. He was not fighting with the people. He was not angry with God. That is a sign of true repentance. Then he went to his own house, and at his request they served him food and he ate. Why he ate? Mean that he accepted the discipline of the Lord. He was not angry with God or with anyone else. He was not led by his emotion. He was just praying and fasting that may the Lord have mercy on him and spare the son. The servant asked him, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat. He answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live, but now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. It means there here that David was fully accepting the will of God in his life. He accepted his sin, the punishment of God. He washed, he changed his clothes, and he went to worship. And that is the true altar, the altar of repentance that the Lord wants us to serve him on. Jesus loves sinners, but he wants us to repent. He wants you to repent. When you worship and there is sin, your worship is not acceptable. Then, verse 24, then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went to her and lay with her. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. The Lord loved him. Verse 25, and because the Lord loved him, he sent word through Nathan the prophet to name him Jedidiah. It means loved by the Lord. Here the Lord confirming to David that he accepted his repentance and he is working out to restore him. And we know that Solomon is the reward of God to David who repent, and we know that Solomon is the one who built the temple of God. The true ministry, the approved ministry, is the ministry when you repent, the Lord will reward you for your repentance, and he will restore you, and he will bless it, your ministry. Psalm 51, let's read it. We will read and we will discuss. Psalm 51, for the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David has committed adultery with Bathsheba. So when he repented, he composed the psalm. He was not ashamed of his sin. He wrote it down. He proclaimed it. And as part of our repentance, we accept and we proclaim our sin to the congregation clearly. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. He is asking that the Lord will blot out his sins that he did. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. And that's why when you sin, your sin will always be before you. The Holy Spirit will continue to convict you until you repent. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. When you do sin, you are sinning against the Lord, not against people, against God. And God is after you to repent, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. So here, David accepting the judgment of God. When Nathan went to him and he told him, you have sinned, he accepted, and he accepted the justice and the judgment of the Lord. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. So here he speaks about himself. When David repented, he did not speak about others. He speaks about himself, that he is the one who sinned. I was sinful at birth. Surely I was sinful. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. He is telling to God, you desire inner truth. He is telling to God, there is no truth in me. And he told him, you teach me wisdom. He is telling to God, you have done your part, but I was unfaithful to you. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter, and I will be whiter than snow. He is committing to the Lord that he will cleanse him and wash him, and he will respond to God's washing and cleansing and sanctification. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot away all my iniquities. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Yes, you need a pure heart, a new heart, a heart of flesh without sin. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. He is pleading for his salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. He told the Lord, I promise, I will teach others. I will tell them what I did and what you did to me. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. When you sin, there's a guilt feeling, a painful guilt feeling that will go only by your repentance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You see, I will proclaim your praise. I will teach others. All this with the acceptance of the consequence of the sin, the punishment of God, accepting the destruction that caused by your sin, and your commitment to teach others about it. I have done it. Don't go through it. God had disciplined me. I don't want you to experience that painful thing. That is what meant about true repentance. Many people, they say, oh, we have a trial, we have a hard time, but they will not speak about their sin. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take a pleasure in burnt offerings. He tell him, I can bring burnt offering, but I know you don't like these things. You want repentance. Sacrifices, ministry, activities cannot cover up your sin. Doing good things, helping the church, bringing souls, that will not cover up your sin. Giving tithes, first fruit, bringing people to Christ, that will not cover up your sin. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. True repentance is needed. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Here David speak about that. Prosper Zion and build walls for Jerusalem. Jerusalem had a wall. Well, David is speaking to God, build up the walls of Jerusalem. Because when you are sinning, there is no more protection. The walls here around the city is to protect it. When you sin, there is no more protection. No more gods are present to protect you. And that's why he prospered Zion. He is telling that my sin will affect other. As I repent, Lord, prosper the church. And protect the church. Build the walls around Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices. That's here the altar, the approved altar. Then there will be righteous sacrifices. Who will burn offerings to delight you? Then bulls will be offered on your altars. After repentance, God will delight with the burnt offerings and the sacrifices that will be offered on his altars. Let's go to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 21. We'll speak about the second sin of David and how he repent and how he built an altar that pleased the Lord and how that altar became the temple of God. And thus we are here, the basic things for church planting. Church planting is to preach the gospel. Upon repentance, new disciple will be formed and church will be planted. Sin will destroy the work of God. Repentance is the altar that God wants us to save him on it. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, there was a sin. We read from verse 1. Satan rose up against Israel and said to David to take a census of Israel. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the troops, go and count the Israelites from Beersheba to Dan. Then report back to me so that I may know how many there are. That is the sin that David did. Exactly what's the meaning of it? Could be lack of faith or some other things that God was not pleased with. Why David going to count the men? And also this story also repeated in the book of 2 Samuel, also repeated the same story in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 24. Also David counted the fighting men, and there it mentions that the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, go and take a census of Israel and Judah. I am here not describing what is his sin clearly. It may be lack of faith, lack of trust in God, but the point here we speak about when he repent, how we can describe true repentance from the repentance of David. That's what I'm going to emphasize on. Verse 3 in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 21 verse 3. But Joab replied, may the Lord multiply his troops 100 times over. My Lord the King, are they not all my Lord's subjects? Why does my Lord want to do this? Why should he bring guilt on Israel? So here I may not able to define to you the sin exactly, but here very clear the scripture tells us that somebody told him that this is wrong what you are doing. So there is a clue for him, there is a clue for you that what you are doing is wrong. You don't need to go forward. Anyhow, David did not listen to Joab's instruction and advice. The king's word, however, overruled Joab. So Joab left and went out through Israel and then came back to Jerusalem. Joab reported the number of the fighting men to David. In all Israel, there were 1,100,000 men who could handle a sword, including 470,000 in Judah. But Joab did not include Levi and Benjamin in the numbering, because the king's command was repulsive to him. This command was also even in the sight of God, so he punished Israel. So truly that what David did, we may not know the main explanation of his sin, but we can know that God was not happy with. There was a warning and disapproval from his staff, Joab, but he did not listen. Then
Verse 8, then David said to God, I have sinned greatly by doing this. He realized his sin. Now I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing. So here, David learned the lesson. He does not need that someone to come and to convict him and to publicly confront him. He himself take the initiative and confess, hey, I have sinned greatly by doing this. Now I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing. If you are in this position, tell to God now. Let me see your prayer. I have sinned greatly by doing this. Now I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing. The Lord said to God, as a prophet, the seer, David seer, go and tell David, this is what the Lord says. I am giving you three options. Choose one of them for me to carry out against you. He repented. He confessed his sin. He said, I have sinned, not Joab or others or my family or other people. He confessed it. When he confessed and he repented to God, the Lord also sent him three options to choose, because he should accept the consequence of his sin. That's part of repentance. So God went to David and said to him, this is what the Lord says. Take your choice. 3 years of famine, 3 months of being swept away before your enemies with the sword overtaking you, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord, days of a plague in the land with the angel of the Lord ravaging every part of Israel. Now then, decide how I should answer the one who sent me. Tell him you have to choose one of these three things as a consequence of your sin. That's your punishment. So when you repent, you accept the consequences and you bear these consequences. That's part of your repentance. People, when you confront them with their sin, they will retaliate. And they will not accept that there is a consequence of the wrongdoing that they have done. Verse 13, how David behaved. David said to God, I am in deep distress. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great. But do not let me fall into the hands of men. So he accepted his sin. He accepted to bear the consequences, and he chose to fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great. So the Lord sent a plague on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell dead, and God sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem. But as the angel was doing so, the Lord saw it and was grieved because of the calamity, and said to the angel who was destroying the people, enough, withdraw your hand. The angel of the Lord was then standing at the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. David looked up. See here, your sin always brings destruction to others. And you must realize, it's part of your repentance, that people fail to see that. You must realize that others are affected by your sin. The church is affected by your sin. Personally, I am affected with your sin. David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth with a drawn sword in his hand extended over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell face down. Prayer and fasting, they are fearing the Lord, part of the repentance. David said to God, was it not I who ordered the fighting men to be counted? He's pleading, Lord, it's my sin. I am the one who has sinned and done wrong, Lord. These are but sheep. What have they done? O Lord my God, let your hand fall upon me and my family. But do not let this plague remain on your people. And this we're here from the prayer of David. We can discern his true repentance. But he said to the Lord, he said, let your hand fall upon me and my family. How he say it? That is, he said, Lord, I have sinned. Those are innocent. You want to punish? Yes. Lord, I am here, my family also. And that's where God is pleased with the true repentance. When David said this to God, and he proven his repentance to the Lord, accepting the consequences and the punishment of God to befall on him and his belonging, then the angel of the Lord ordered God to tell David to go up and build an altar. This is where here the approved altar, the approved ministry, to build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. So David went up in obedience to the word that God had spoken in the name of the Lord. So here, the true altar is the altar where repentance meet to serve the Lord. While Arunah was threshing wheat, he then and saw the angel. His four sons who were with him hid themselves. Then David approached and when Arunah looked and saw him, he left the threshing floor and bowed down before David with his face to the ground. David said to him, let me have the sight of your threshing floor so I can build an altar to the Lord. You want to build an altar. This is the true altar of repentance. That the plague on the people may be stopped, sell it to me at the full price. Arunah said to David, take it, let my lord the king do whatever please him. Look, I will give the oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing sledges for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I will give all this. But King David replied to Arunah, no, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, or sacrifice a burnt offering that cost me nothing. So David paid Arunah 600 shekels of gold for the site. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offering and fellowship offerings. He called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offering. The Lord approved the altar that David built after he repented, accept his sin, the consequences, the punishment of God. He paid for it. He insists to pay for it. He built the altar of God after he received the word of the Lord to build an altar from his prophet God. And which time God spoke this word, he permit him to serve the Lord. When he accept that this sin, and he told to the Lord, let your when he said to God, let your hand fall upon me and upon my family, God approved him. When he accept the consequences, this time God knew that David truly repented, and he allowed him to build an altar to the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the angel, and he put his sword back into its sheath. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite, he offered sacrifices there. The tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses had made in the desert, and the altar of the burnt offering were at that time on the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, because he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. So here the Lord, David built the altar of God when he repented in response to God. And at the place the Lord determined, and where the angel of the Lord was standing with his sword. The approved ministry, the approved altar, when there is fear of God, fear of the judgment of God. That's the approved ministry. And why I choose 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and not 2 Samuel chapter 24, speaking about the same event? Because if you will continue to read and go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and read the first verse, then David said, the house of the Lord God is to be here, and also the altar of burnt offering for Israel, and here the place that where the temple of God will be built up. In response to the repentance of David to his second sin, the place where to build the temple was located. The first sin after he repented, God gave him Solomon who built it. The second sin, when he repented, God gave him the place and the place of the altar of the burnt offering. And that's where church planting. To plant the ministry of the Lord need repentance, fear of God, accepting the consequences of your sin, the judgment of the Lord, the justice of God, and aware of that your sin had caused others to suffer, and also your commitment to teach others, to record your sin, to tell them what you have done, and how God restored you, and how God disciplined you, and you instruct them and you help them to avoid sinning against the Lord. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word to us. We bless you, we magnify you, we come before you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that people who hear this message of yours would receive help and mercy and conviction of the Holy Spirit to repent, and they would truly repent, oh God. You will work it out in their life that they will be repenting, accepting your judgment, the consequence of their sins, and you will be the one, Lord, to restore them back and reward them for their repentance. I pray that this message will be used mightily for your glory, to teach your people your ways. Oh God, I pray for many servants to be restored, plantation of churches and congregations will be done according to your will and to your plan. Oh God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hands be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm so that we not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.